Hey guys, it's me, Yamini Nambimram, comedian and host of Pillow Fight. This week, I'm joined by Anjali Chakra. Anjali is a New York-based event planner and content creator whose work is informed by her outspoken advocacy for the LGBTQ plus community. In Anjali's spare time, she enjoys hunting for New York's best banh mi, visiting local farmers markets, and tending to her small army of houseplants. You can find more of her on Instagram at Anjali Chakra or on her blog, anjalichakra.com. Now, get ready for this Pillow Fight.
Pillow fight. This year's made of goose.
We got feathers flying everywhere.
Mine's made of goose.
Pillow fight.
This is so fun.
We're pillow fighting.
Why is this so fun?
Pillow fight.
Okay, well, anyway, thank you so much for being on the show today. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. I've been trying to, like, it's off season right now, no weddings, so I've been trying to, like, just sit still as much as possible, which has been really nice because I don't usually do that.
Yeah. Do you just never have, like, winter weddings or winter events, or is it just, like, rarer?
I did have a November wedding and a December wedding this year, but usually we try to, like, have a couple months where we just don't schedule anything. Because if we were working year-round, it would just be a lot.
Yeah.
So we kind of try to keep it within that, like, May to October time frame, but then those are, like, a sprint those few months.
Yeah. You seemed really busy. Like, just from following you on Instagram, you seemed, like, so busy in the summer and, like, fall.
Oh, yeah. I'm still getting over the burnout.
Yeah. How did you decide you wanted to go into event planning?
Well, I was working at a corporate job, and I was super bored. It just, like, I think ADHD brain, like, I just can't, like, sit still and stare at a computer screen for 8 hours a day. And that's just how corporate worked. It really ended up being like 9 to 11 hours a day, if I'm being real. But doing the same thing every day was not working for me. Somehow managed to get promoted and had people that, like, I managed. And I always tell people that, like, I'm not a great employee, but I'm a pretty good boss. Like, I would always get amazing upward reviews from my associates that I managed, and my downwards would just be like, no. So after a while, I started thinking, okay, maybe there's something that I need to be doing that's, like, actually interesting to me. And this was before I even figured out that I had ADHD, but I just started thinking about, like, what are the things that got me super excited? And it always came back to, like, planning events, whether that was, like, in college, I did stuff or whatever. So I just kind of, like, started telling people that I wanted to be an event planner. And, like, the more I said it out loud, the more things would just, like, come to me. Like, I told a friend who was a new friend who I just met that I wanted to do events. And she was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing a music video and we need somebody to plan the event for the launch party. And I was like, okay, let me do it. And then I met some friends at a bachelor showing. I don't even watch The Bachelor usually, but I just,
it's a good networking activity.
Lots of, like, badass people get together and watch The Bachelor. I ended up meeting my business partner there, and she had just quit her job as an investment banker to do wedding planning full time. And I was like, hey, want to do something together? And I kind of, like, became her apprentice and worked my way up to being her business partner, and here we are.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you're like, so it's, I think it's awesome when people, like, are, I'm so pro quitting corporate jobs that don't bring you joy. Like, the moment, the first strike, I'm like, get out, gal. I tell all my friends, like, the moment there's a red flag, I'm like, leave. But I know that's not, like, everyone's way of thinking or being, but I'm happy for you that you were able to leave that and do what you wanted to do. It sounds like you're doing very well yourself, and then also social media and everything. So,
I mean, yeah. I think it definitely does, like, require a degree of privilege to be able to just be like, okay, I'm going to quit. Including like, for me to get there, I had to be like, okay, I need to have a certain amount saved. Cause if I'm going to take a chance on this, I need to know that, you know, I'm still going to be able to pay rent. And to even be able to have savings is a privilege to totally. Even to say, okay, I have another source of income for me that was social media to maybe fall back on.
Yeah.
Before I quit was a huge privilege. But otherwise, yes, I'm totally for everyone quitting their mm-hmm. jobs if they're able to.
If you're able to, I'm like, leave. And also, yeah. I think now, particularly right now, because it's like so much of a workers labor market. Every time I hear like one of my friends working a job where they do like one minor thing wrong, I'm like, you need like revolt, revolt. there's a sign, like a hiring sign at Creation, that like the smoothie juice place in LA that's like looking for employees. And it's like, if you're the kind of person who like doesn't complain, doesn't cry, like knows when to suck up, like can work hard, like has no emotions, like that's who we want here at Creation. And that felt so dystopian. And I just, ever since then, every time I see those employees, I'm like, oh no, like I wonder.
I hope they're okay.
I wonder what they're doing to you. If that's like openly written on the hiring sign, like they're not even trying to hide it. Yeah. Well, so how long have you been in New York?
Literally just moved in September.
Okay. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's different. It's a little scary. It's a big transition. I've been in California almost my entire life, so the weather is definitely something new. Mm-hmm. I got seasonal depression when I lived in LA, so like here is like a whole other level. But so far, it's very cool to be here. I mean, my partner is from here, so being here is like me getting to know my partner's space and my partner's community. Which is really nice.
Yeah. I feel like you probably had that same sort of experience, like being in California, like you got to show Sufi things and now you get to explore things in New York. So that's an exciting experience.
Yeah.
But do you have any big goals for the rest of the year? Like resolutions? It's 2 months into the year. So I thought I'd do a little check in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a little like I'm a Capricorn, so normally goals and stuff like that are very Capricorn, but mm-hmm. I kind of stopped doing resolutions a couple years ago.
Yeah.
One year I did like, okay, I'm just going to set smaller goals, like monthly goals, and even that I was just like I think probably this year the biggest thing that I want to do though is to balance my life a little more. I think anyone who is in the wedding industry knows that like last year was absolutely nuts. It was all the rescheduled weddings from 2020 plus everyone who was already planning to get married in 2021. Mm-hmm. So we had very little control over our schedules because we didn't know when venues would be available for our rescheduled clients. And it was like the first time we were doing anything. So we didn't know any better than to just be like, okay, guess we're doing it. So you know, at one point we had 4 weddings in 2 weeks, which was just a lot. And so I feel like I'm still like recovering from the burnout.
Yeah.
And that's just been like the big word on my mind lately has been burnout. And like, how can I rest more? How can I take care of myself more? How can I balance these things out? Especially as like a neurodivergent person who feels burnout very intensively, mm-hmm. like how can I balance my life a little bit better so I'm not like kind of catatonic for like months after?
Totally.
Summer, you know?
That's the ultimate question. I feel like it's a hard thing to figure out how to balance, but I don't know. You seem like you have the intention of wanting to, I think goes a long way.
So, yeah. It's a starting point.
Did you have a good Valentine's Day?
I did. I'm not here to yuck anybody's yum, but I think Valentine's Day is like super cheesy and like it's like commercial overhyped. It's a really big deal to my girlfriend, so I usually take over like planning, like I do the Valentine's date and stuff like that. So I like every year I ask my partner to be my Valentine with a card.
That's
like
cute.
Before, and then we like have a date. This year I went a little more bougie. I hired a chef to come to our apartment and like,
that's fun.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's nice.
And I like wore this dress that my partner got me before we even moved. I like was mm-hmm. so ready to have my like Twitter girlfriend moment. I just like sent her the link to this dress and I was like, get this dress for me for a date. And she did. So I wore that dress. And it was like a significant thing for us, which I thought was like,
that's cute. You
did it. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Valentine's Day. I think the idea that like it's the only day you would celebrate someone is silly or whatever, but I think it's like a cute, like, it's particularly in a cold place. I think it's like sweet to take a night and like do something special because it's like hard to find joy in other things. But like when I was in Chicago, it meant so much to me. And now, I mean, I've been here and I've been single. Well, I've been here, so I don't know. But when I was younger, I guess it was like less of a big deal. But when I was somewhere cold, it was like a really nice like winter thing to look forward to. Even even just with friends, like I feel like it's such a fun little, like I love giving my friends like candy and stuff. Like it's fun for me. But I'm glad that you two had a good time.
How was Valentine's Day?
Oh, my Valentine's Day, I actually watched The Bachelor with my friends. Because I also have like, when I moved here, I immediately put together like a social group of all the friends I knew where it was like, even if we didn't all immediately get along, we could like sit together and watch The Bachelor for an hour and a half, like in peace. And like, it would be a nice social outlet. And then over the course of being here, that like just kind of turned into my main friend group. And so, you know,
that's amazing.
That's been nice.
I'm proud of you.
The power of Bachelor watching groups, right? Is really strong for both of us.
Fuck, marry, kill. Fuck, marry, kill.
Okay, so the first headline is that 15-year-old Russian figure skater Kamila Valieva was heavily favored to win big in women's individual figure skating during this year's Winter Olympics. Valieva tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs, but was still cleared to participate. During her final performance, Valieva took multiple falls, eventually placing fourth in the women's individual. Number two, Telfar, a luxury unisex fashion line known for its affordable and colorful backdrops, debuted a new piece at New York Fashion Week. At $567, Telfar's new circle bag is the company's most expensive piece to date. Online, fans of Telfar are stressed and worried that this price increase is just the first of many for the brand. Number three, Papa John's Pizza founder John Schnatter has been announced as a speaker at the Conservative Political Action Conference taking place later this month in Orlando, Florida. Okay, so Russian figure skaters, doping accusations, falls, eventual fourth place finish, Telfar's new bag, price increase, Papa John's pizza founder speaking at CPAC, fuck, marry, kill, what would you do?
Okay, kill Papa John's, fuck the Russian skating thing, and marry Telfar. Yes. I've just heard so many terrible, awful things about the founder of Papa John's. Like, I'm pretty sure he's super racist, and there have been like a lot of headlines over the last few years about him, and they've never been good. Like, never. Yeah. The whole Russian figure skater thing, like, I am like interested and like disgusted by this at the same time, because it's like, have you heard about the backlash from Sha'Carri Richardson with everything? Just like, I don't know, that whole situation is like really screwed up.
It feels like such a double standard.
Yeah. And then even though I know that the price increase is pretty steep for Telfar, I think that is like, honestly, to me, expected, because they've had to scale so quickly. Like, they went viral. So scaling your production comes with a big cost, especially for like a homegrown brand like Telfar is. So honestly, I expected it, but I am like really intrigued to like follow that story long term and be like, you know, does it actually continue to increase? Do they kind of let go of the goals that they started with of like being an accessible luxury brand, or are they going to like stick to that? And is this going to be the max it goes?
Yeah. I would also marry the Telfar headline, just because I think there's giving and there's also compromise. So there's like, you get something you want, but also, you know, the price increases, whatever. It's like, feels like wins and compromises, highs and lows. And I feel like ultimately of those three things, that's what marriage is. So I feel like that makes sense. I would marry that headline. The other two, I might do something crazy here. I think that I would kill the figure skating situation just because I think, like you said, like the Shikari Richardson stuff compared to this, this was such a big deal. First of all, this is a 15-year-old girl. And I think one that like I'm sure that the pressures placed on a 15-year-old girl going to the Olympics on behalf of Russia are so high that like the pressures to use performance enhancing drugs or whatever are so big and, you know, all this stuff. And then I also think at the same time, this whole situation is just indicative of many things that are wrong to me. So is the Papa John's one for sure. But this one in particular I'm talking about right now. And I think that like it highlights a lot of double standards. I also think like this poor girl that she took performance enhancing drugs and then placed fourth. But also I guess that's nice for the people who got first through third because they had a proper medal ceremony. So they got to like actually celebrate. But doesn't that kind of suck that you take performance enhancing drugs and then you don't even medal?
Yeah.
And then I would think I would fuck the fact that John Schnatter is the a speaker at CPAC, because I think that's just how did the Republican Party turn into a party where the Papa John's pizza founder who has been disgraced is now like a political speaker for their convention? Like that feels like an Onion headline. It feels crazy. It feels messy. It feels wrong. I feel like something we're going to hear in a couple of weeks, some news about that. It's going to have gone massively crazy. I think that fucking it would be messy. There would probably be some free pizza involved, some bar fight after. But you know, I don't think that it would feel good in my body after, but I think that's what I would do just for the experience. I had to laugh when I saw that headline. Like, what's he going to be talking about? Like, cancel culture, I guess, but like, what does that have to do? Like, I think that it's just the state of the Republican Party right now is just such a mess. And I'm not excited. I'm curious to see what's going to happen and who they're going to put up for the next like presidential race and everything like that, because it's just, I have to laugh.
Yeah, I'm like, honestly, now that you're talking about it, I'm like curious which part of the equation made it newsworthy. Like, is John like now so infamous that like everything he does is newsworthy, or is it because of the conference? Like, what is it that made it headline worthy?
I think it's both. I think it's like the very, very bad. This is like dystopian universe version of like Frank Ocean being announced to perform at Coachella, you know? Like, if that is a big news, because one, because it's Frank Ocean, he never performs live, and because it's Coachella, like that's every year people wait to see who's gonna perform. This I think is like the all-time worst possible version of that. So like disgraced dude, pizza company, just that was a whole moment in pop culture. And then CPAC, which is happening, which is like also, I think like Trump and DeSantis are feuding right now, and that's supposed to like be at a head at CPAC. So he's just hopping in there for like a little bit of fun in that. So I'm intrigued, but I don't know.
This is a very well thought out fuck.
Yeah, I'm kind of just, I'm coming up with this all right now, but yeah, I don't feel good about that, but I only feel like certain about the Telfar one, because that does feel like marriage, you know. I don't,
real.
The price increase is the least of my concerns in like these three headlines here going on, so yeah,
least of all the evils.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you follow the Olympics at all, like closely, or do you just kind of hear the news in passing? Because that's how I consume.
Yeah. I just kind of hear it. I feel like I used to watch it pretty religiously when I lived at home. Mm-hmm. But like nowadays it's like, okay, if it's like playing at a bar or a coffee shop that I'm at, I'll be like, wow.
Yeah.
I think a friend of mine said it best. He was like talking offhand about going somewhere and was like, oh yeah, and they had a little snowboarding competition on the screen, and I was like, did you mean the Winter Olympics? Like that's pretty much how I feel about it though.
A little snowboarding competition.
Yeah.
Like the X Games or whatever. I like the summer more than the winter, but this year they had summer and winter in the span of 1 year, and I couldn't do two Olympics in one span of 12 months. Like that was a little much.
Yeah.
For me. But I like swimming and diving and gymnastics. And I liked this. They had skateboarding this past year, so I liked that. But the winter sports, I never had a winter, so I never really like knew any of those sports. So they just never really mattered to me. But I guess they're a big deal right now, important stuff
for people who aren't us.
Yeah, for athletes, I guess. I live with two guys, and they both were really excitedly watching figure skating this whole week, or last week, I don't know when it was, but sometime recently. And I know Nathan Chen did very well for the US, but that's all the information I know. Sean White retired. Here, I'm just spitting my facts.
I love that name. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the extent of my Olympics knowledge. Do you follow Fashion Week at all?
I've been like watching it on Instagram. I never used to like follow influencers on social media. I just was like, just not particularly interested. But now that I'm like in the industry, I'm like, look at this content that this person is making. This is so cool. So now I follow a lot of influencers, and I'm like watching them go to all these events and like what outfits they're wearing. I do.
Yeah. I would love to go to a fashion show at a fashion week. I think that would be so fun. Did you ever watch My Unorthodox Life on Netflix?
I did.
Yeah. That's what that's reminding me of right now. But I want to just be able to like jet around to these random shows in Paris. And I think that would be so fun. But
right.
Yeah. Maybe one day. I think that's an attainable like,
yeah,
in this life goal for sure. So I'm adding it to my life resolutions.
Would you rather?
Let's play a game of would you rather.
Okay, so the first one is that Jake Gyllenhaal finally responded to Taylor Swift's recent re-release of her album Red, which is rumored to largely be about Gyllenhaal. In response to her fans coming after him, he said that it's not about him, but about the fans' relationship with her. He also started a conversation about the extent to which celebrities have a responsibility to speak out against their fans when their fans spread hate. I want to know if you were like a famous celebrity in a kind of a feud with an ex publicly, would you rather have an ex publicly blast you? So I'm thinking not Kim and Kanye level, because Kanye is crossing many lines right now, but more of that situation, or have an ex's fans come after you on their behalf. So kind of like what Jake Gyllenhaal is going through.
I feel like those two are like, they go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Like if the ex blasts you publicly, the fans are going to come after you regardless.
Yeah.
But I think that like, if I had to choose between them, I would rather it be like just the fans. Cause I feel like if the ex does it, it's inevitable that the fans mm-hmm. come. But like if it's just the fans coming, then like there's still potential for damage control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would almost rather the ex do it, because I think like I would so much more easily be able to be like, you know, there's feelings involved here. Like you are saying this out of a place of like, you know, I would be able to have compassion for the situation more, I think, whereas like if it were their fans, I would, I think, like be driven up the wall and be like
really, really overwhelmed by like, you think these things about me that aren't true. Cause I think that's like a struggle that I have on the internet with like people assuming things about me that are not true just out of nowhere. And I'm not near the level of that, but it's already still like a thing that I have to encounter. So if you could separate them, I think that's what I would choose.
Yeah.
Because like even now, like once I tweeted something random about like Justin Bieber and people were in my DMs like screaming at me, and they're like, Scooter Braun saw this and Scooter Braun's gonna have your account locked. And I was like, oh my God, like it, people, like I think that hardcore fan culture on the internet is really frightening. So yeah.
I mean, I tweeted something once about like one of The Weeknd's song lyrics being biphobic, mm-hmm. and I got some really intense responses. So I feel for you.
Yeah. The one group I never want to come for me are the Nicki Minaj stans.
Oh my God, yeah.
The Taylor Swift ones really, really have come for me. And I didn't even say anything that like negative about her. I tweeted, as someone who enjoys Taylor Swift, has seen her in concert, and is also neurodivergent, I tweeted, Taylor Swift makes music for neurotypicals. And all these people were coming after me being like, I can't believe that you are like so hateful towards like members of the neurodivergent community who like Taylor Swift. And I was like, no, it's not.
It's just like I also love The Weeknd. Like I love The Weeknd's music. I listen to The Weeknd's music all the time. And I did in college, like every day.
Yeah.
Like peak depression era, right? But like, it's this like weird thing of like, I hold this person on a pedestal, so therefore nobody can say anything bad about them. And that's the weird part.
Yeah. Like, I think that like, also when we're talking about things like cancel culture, whatever, there's like two extreme ends that I think people tend to go towards, which is like, this person is perfect. They can do no wrong. We cannot criticize them. And then this person is horrible. They have done all the worst things in the world. Therefore there is no room to enjoy them. And it's like most people in reality, like live in the middle of that somewhere. And it's like totally normal to like someone, like their work, respect them, whatever, and also be like, I don't like that you did this thing
once
or twice.
I agree with what you were saying. There isn't a whole lot of nuance in these like online discussions of real human beings. Yeah.
And then most conversations happen online. So it's like, and then things that are said offline get distilled into this like horrible online conversation or whatever. I don't know anything about like the podcast Chapo Trap House, really. I just have heard of them. And then someone sent me like a tweet, like they were saying like it was a bad tweet from one of the guys, and I couldn't see it. And I found out that I'd been blocked by him. And then I went and looked, and like multiple guys who are on that podcast have me blocked. And it was so random. I have no idea like what, but I probably just said one thing one time, and it was like outrage from there. And so I just think that was like amusing. When I noticed this, everyone was like, good, like that's a badge of honor, like you should wear it with pride that they blocked you because they're like not good guys. But
wow,
funny. It's a funny world out there on the internet. Speaking of funny guys on the internet, Chet Hanks, who is the son of Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, made a YouTube video recently and shared some of his story in it last week. In the video, Hanks claims to have had no male role model growing up. Would you rather, in that situation, be Tom Hanks and have your kids say that about you, or be Chet Hanks and like be in the position where you feel like you have to publicly come out against, I guess, your famous father? I don't fully understand like the nuances of the situation here, but
yeah, because I'm wondering like, because he grew up in Jamaica, right?
I feel like he grew up in a lot of places.
Okay,
but
I'm wondering how involved Tom actually was in raising him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like not taking sides in this, like not like, not to say that I think that he's necessarily in the right, but I think I would rather be in Tom's position and have my son Chet, like, denounce me. Because I think, like, I mean, I could be wrong about this, but I think Tom Hanks' public image is pretty spotless, and comparably, Chet's is not. So for Chet to say something like that about Tom, to be like, I had no father figure, people are like, okay, is that really true? Or is he just, like, angry at his dad, angry at the world? Like, I don't know. But, you know, when I'm looking at the situation, like, and, like, also from, like, you know, something bad had to have happened for him to act this way. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's no, like, the different things that I've heard, and I've only briefly heard about some of, like, his antics, but, like, for somebody to act out in those ways, like, something had to have gone wrong. So I'm not saying that, like, Tom is, like, in the right, you know, like, I feel like he might have done something really messed up to his kid to, like, make him act out for attention in the ways that he is. What about you?
I think I would personally, in terms of, like, best case scenario for me, rather be Tom Hanks in the situation, because I think, like, people in that situation are like, okay, weird, like, your dad is Tom Hanks, like, whatever. But I do feel, I feel like I see, have you watched Succession?
No.
Okay, but I see Chad Hanks in this position as, like, one of the sons on Succession. Like, I see him as kind of a Kendall Roy, maybe more of a Connor Roy, but I just see him in that way where it's like, I can see that if as a kid, like, he didn't get whatever from his dad, and then, like, the whole world loves your dad, and then you are like, what the fuck? Like, that, like, I get that everyone loves him because he's talented and, like, has this, you know, like, everyone's dad kind of energy. But, like, he wasn't there for me as my dad. Like, what would you then, like, it would probably piss you off every time, like, people are talking to you, asking you, like, about what it was like to grow up with him, as opposed to, like, asking you about you, whatever. So I get that, but I also think, like, from an outsider perspective, it's like, Tom Hanks is not commenting on his son, and he doesn't need to be, and I think that's, like, the better position to be in.
Yeah.
But... yeah.
So you said it perfectly. Like, that's exactly, like, you know, the messed up things that I was thinking might be going on. Like, it's probably very hard to, like, live with somebody who's so beloved and not really have a voice to be like, that's not how he actually is.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. Cause it's, like, not the same, but I think, like, I don't know, my dad's, like, very, very smart. And so whenever I meet people who, like, worked with him or anything like that, they would always be like, so, like, talking about this, and then I was, like, a kid, and I was, like, my dad and I would get into screaming matches because he was, like, trying to help me with math because I wasn't, like, good at it, and he was, like, trying to make me better at it, and I was just, like, I hate doing math with him, whatever, and all these people were, like, your dad is, like, such an amazing mathematician, all this stuff, and I'm, like, shut up, like, I don't want, but, like, imagine that on a huge scale, your dad's Tom Hanks, like, that's, trying to have empathy for Chet here, so, but. He did turn into a character. So I don't fully know what the background is there.
Yeah. But that was a good one.
Truth or dare? Truth or dare? Okay, on to the truth or dare.
I'm going to go with the truth, just so I can see, like, how spicy things are.
I don't have that much spicy stuff planned out. But, okay, what's the most, like, disastrous thing that's ever happened at, like, an event you've planned that you've had to, like, deal with? Or, like, the scariest thing?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I don't even know if I can publicly talk about this. I can, like, anonymize it. I mean, they did, like, write about it in their Yelp review. Okay. I won't go into, like, too much detail.
Okay.
But at one of our weddings, a groom like really severely injured himself, like right before the reception. And I was the only person there with the bride and groom at the time. And like later we learned that like I shouldn't have done this for like liability reasons. But like when the couple like declined in an ambulance, like I ended up driving them to the mm-hmm. emergency room and like spending the rest of like the evening there with them. I'm trying to just like only give the details that like they like publicly posted yeah. about. But yeah, it actually ended up like working out. Like my business partner stayed behind. They like extended cocktail hour by an hour and then they let everybody in and like let everybody start eating. And we got somehow miraculously got the groom back by like 9 p.m. and started like all of the reception, like grand entrances, first dance performances, everything at 9:30. And then they got to enjoy like the last 2.5 hours of the reception, which was like, I cannot believe that that like,
yeah, that's impressive. Happened.
But yeah, that was like, I think the, like the thing that like gave me nightmares for like weeks.
Yeah. That sounds stressful. Did everyone else at the reception know what was happening? Or are they just like waiting there like,
Kind of. Like when it first happened, the couple didn't want anyone to freak out, right?
Yeah.
But then it came to a point where, you know, people were like, okay, what's going on? It's like, we started eating and the couple's not here yet, which isn't like a standard like format. Yeah. So we kind of like had a family member make like a cutesy like kind of announcement, like downplaying like the severity of the situation. And so nobody freaked out. Everyone was like just having a good time. As you can imagine, when you extend a cocktail hour to 2 hours, everyone's like having fun. So they weren't like too stressed. But yeah, that's people good. Didn't really know what happened until afterwards, which was good, I think.
Yeah. Sounds like you pulled it off. Well.
Yeah. I mean, major props to my business partner who was handling the entire situation like at the event.
Yeah. Also, seems like you each like one person. Took one thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Truth or dare?
I'll start with the truth too.
Okay. I want to know what is the like, maybe not like the worst, but like the most outrageous situation, whether it's like outrageously good or outrageously bad, that has happened when you were like trying to make a friend, like especially because you just moved and like you
trying to make a friend. Okay, well I'll say this, this is my best answer. I was on my way to a date, but dating women often 9 times out of 10 they turn out to be my friends anyway, so I'll consider this a story in pursuit of a friend. I was going to meet this girl for tacos and like not far from me, like three, like a couple blocks north, a couple blocks east of my apartment. I thought about Ubering because I was like, maybe do I want to like drink whatever, but then I was like, I don't think I do, so I'll drive. I drove there and I go to park, and the parking that I had was like not a legal spot. So I was like, I just texted her. I was like, okay, I'm gonna find a legal parking spot and I'll come find you. 30 seconds later, I'm in a collision in the middle of like two incredibly busy streets in LA.
Oh my God.
So I have to deal with this with the other guy. I have to talk to a cop. I have to talk to insurance. This girl's just like standing here still, like watching this whole thing go down. It's so, so embarrassing. But then she was like really nice after and like helped me get everything together before I like went back home. And then we ended up hanging out again. But I felt like that was, I would have rather take, my car is still, this is in November. My car is still in the shop because the parts take so long to get back ordered, and that was in November, so I would so much have rather just paid a $60 parking ticket or something. But
wow,
yeah, that's, it wasn't like I did something on purpose in pursuit of a friend, but that was a crazy thing that happened to me. I'm trying to think if there's anything I did on purpose in pursuit of a friend that was weird. I bought Justin Bieber's weed in pursuit of a friend. This was like
a company.
He had like a weed collab with an existing weed company. And I didn't think it was, I would not associate like Justin Bieber with weed. So I didn't know, but this friend, this, like, I don't know. I don't like, not in a good way. Not in like the way I associate like Seth Rogen or Snoop Dogg with weed, you know? I don't like think of him as like one of these people, like not like a tastemaker in the weed world. I don't think of him like that. But this friend was like mentioning that he wanted to try it. So I was like, I bought it, like, come over, like we can smoke it and then we can like go get food after. And like, that was my, he was a work friend and I was trying to make him be like a real life friend also. So yeah, we're friends now. So the Justin Bieber weed worked, but it wasn't very good and it was very overpriced, but
I can imagine
it made me a friend. Yeah.
I feel like it's like making friends in a new city and also just like making friends in your 20s is like, that is the real Olympic sport in my life. So
yeah, I think it's hard, like, because you've been in school your whole life and then that's like such an easy built-in way to know people and then it's like, what now? So I definitely find it tricky. That's why I started the Bachelor watching group, because I thought it would be like that kind of thing. And then it was, but
it worked.
Yeah. All right. Truth or dare?
Oh my gosh. I'm like kind of scared to do a dare. Let's just do it. Let's do a dare.
Do you have like an object, like a large object in your vicinity?
How large? Like this lamp?
That lamp would work. Okay. Yeah. Can you give us like a spoken word poem about what that lamp means to you?
Oh my
Perform
God.
One for us.
I'm so bad at improv. Okay. Okay. If anybody is listening and not watching.
It's a beautiful lamp.
Yeah. The lamp is like, it's like a, it's one of those like vintagey lamps that's like also in style right now. It's like
mushroom lamp.
Yeah, mushroom lamp. It's like a little cone thing with a ball on top. Okay. All right. Beloved lamp that keeps my guest bedroom vibey. I feel such strong feelings of warmth towards you and your... This is so bad. and your... perfect match to my color palette. I adore you in that you came to us as a gift from someone we love very much. And you remind us of the warmth and gentle glow of that person's spirit every day. Thank you, dear lamp. Oh my God, that was awful.
That was amazing. Towards the end, I felt like you really connected with that lamp. So I felt like you there was like a soul in that lamp and you bonded with it. In that moment.
Yeah, well, fun fact, the person who gave us the lamp now like lives in this room. So
that's cute.
Yeah.
So they helped light up your space and now it lights up their space. Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. That's a cuter. Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to do a truth or a dare?
I'll do a dare this time as well.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Do you have a lot of plants?
I do.
Okay. So how many plants are in the room with you?
quite a few, like at least 7. I'm in a big room.
Okay. I dare you to text an extended family member and send them a picture of the plant and tell them you named it after them.
Okay. Ooh, what extended family member should I pick? Let's see.
I could have specified to make it more risky, but that kind of stresses me out. So
my grandma's name is Kamala, so she's now used to things being named like her. So maybe it would be less meaningful to her. I'm looking in my WhatsApp history and like, who did I recently message?
It's always on WhatsApp. You're gonna find the best people to send it to on WhatsApp.
I think I'll do it to my uncle. I think he would be kind of bewildered and amused to the same degree. Okay, now I'm like, what plant? I have a bird of paradise. I've got a money tree right here. That's what you can see right there.
Money tree would be very complimentary.
Okay, let's do money tree. That's so
tree. Oh, it's cute.
It's not even mine. It's my roommate's, but...
I love it.
I named this plant Hurry after you. It has your sense of humor. There you go.
Love it.
I hope he's amused. Those are like, that's like my aunt and uncle who, they don't have children, so they're like hip with it. You know?
Oh, they're like the aunt and uncle.
Yeah, I've got one on both sides of the family, but this is my mom's side, the one who lives in India. My dad has a sister with no children also, and she lives in Chicago, so I think she would take me, she would be more like, oh, thanks for naming the plant after me. So, let's see, I mean, it's sleeping hours in India, so I'm not going to get a reply anytime soon.
May have to just, you know. Update us later with the
I will but thank you so much for being on my show today, Anjali. I had such a good time and it was so lovely to meet you virtually.
Of course, thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Is there anything before you go that you want to plug or that you want the listeners to know, any advice?
I think advice wise I am not super qualified to be giving this advice, but you know, if you have the ability to go easy on yourself this year and like take a lot of breaks, like let's do that together. And I think in general, I would just want people to know that if they were to wander over to my Instagram, they don't have to follow me. But I do have like a little highlight on my profile where I like post a bunch of like mutual aid fundraisers where people are asking for support from the community. So if they have the means and they're up for it, there's like a community organizer there who's asking for some support, affording therapy and stuff like that. And I update that often. So yeah,
if they that's can. Amazing. Yeah, go check it out. You're at Anjali Chakra on Instagram. Yes. Mm-hmm. So go check it out. If you have anything to spare, I'm sure it would mean a lot to someone. And yeah, thanks so much for joining me. And to everyone listening, see you next time. Bye.
Want to fuel your body with protein but haven't been on the same page as your protein powders? Well, now LiveWell Nutrition brings you 100% plant-based protein made with only the best organic ingredients. Check out the link in the show notes to shop all the delicious flavors and get some recipe inspiration. Amuse is a cannabis delivery site that is reinventing the way consumers order and consume cannabis. With Amuse, you can shop brands like Houseplant, Pure Beauty, and Can at amazing deals all the time and have your order at your door within hours. Best of all, your first order is $30 off. California residents can use the link in my show notes to access a whole new kind of dispensary all at your fingertips.